Fiat. April 25th, 1938. The sign that the divine will reigns in the soul is her feeling the need to love it incessantly. The great evil of not doing good in the divine will. The little flame nourished by the great light of God. My poor mind runs, flies in the divine fiat. And if I don't do this, I feel restless, without strength, without nourishment, with no air to breathe. I feel I have no feet to walk, no hands to operate, no heart to love. And therefore I feel the need to run into His will in order to find its acts, so as to form with them feet that run, hands that embrace everything and operate. Love without a heart which takes the love of the eternal, never to cease loving. But while I was thinking all this nonsense, my always lovable Jesus, repeating His short little visit, pleased with my nonsense, O love, told me, "My blessed daughter, don't be surprised by your nonsense. This is precisely what happens. One who lives in my will leaves her own being, and her will, entering into mine, makes use of our works in order to form for herself the new members needed to live in it. Therefore, she acquires new steps, new motions, new love, to be able to identify herself with our works and do what we do. Hence, the surest sign that my divine will reigns and dominates in the soul is the continuous motion of love. And since she knows that she doesn't have a love that never ceases, nor a multiplicity of works to give me in order to love me, what does she do? She enters into the endless boundaries of my will, sees the great theater of creation, the sumptuousness and opulence of the love with which all things are invested, and she runs from one work of ours to another, gathering all our love that we spread in the whole creation. She places it as though on her lap and comes before our majesty to give us many distinct varieties of love that we place in the creation. Then she makes her own notes of love resound within the varied notes of love of our creative love. And oh, the contentments she gives us, the feasts she opens for us between heaven and earth, the seas of love with which she surrounds our throne. Then, after she has made for us the feast of all creation, in order to love us more with doubled love, she descends from our throne and goes around spreading again over all created things our love redoubled. And with the power of our will that she holds in her power, she makes all say, love, love to our Creator. We can call the creature who lives in our will our continuous feast, the outpouring of our love. Then he added with a note of sadness, my daughter, how low the creature sinks when she does not live in our will. Even if she does good, lacking the light of our will and the strength of our sanctity, the good she does remains covered with smoke, which blinds her vision and produces self-esteem, vainglory, love of self. It can be said that this good remains poisoned in such a way as to be incapable of producing any real benefit, either for oneself or for others. Poor good works without my will. They're like bells with no sound, like pieces of metal without the image of the king, which have no value as money. At the most, they convert into self-satisfaction. And I, loving the creatures so much, am forced many times to embitter the good they do, so that they may enter back into themselves and try to operate as upright and holy. On the other hand, for one who lives in our will, there is no danger that the smoke of self-esteem may enter even the greatest works that she might do. She is the tiny little flame nourished by the great light that is God. And the light knows how to get rid of the darkness of passions, or the smoke of self-esteem. And because she is light, she experiences how in anything good that she does, it is God Himself who operates in her nothingness. And if this nothingness has not been emptied completely of all that does not belong to God, God does not descend into the lowliness of her nothingness to make great works worthy of Him. Hence, not even humility enters our will, but only nothingness, knowing oneself as being nothing, and that all the good that enters into it is no less than divine operating. Then it happens that God is the bearer of the nothing, and the nothing is the bearer of God. Therefore, in my will all things change for the creature. She is nothing other than the little light that must absorb, as much as she can, the great light of my fiat, so that she may do nothing other than nourish herself with light, with love, with goodness, with divine sanctity. What an honor to be nourished by God. So, it is no wonder that, the creature being the little flame, God would nourish himself with her. And then he added, in addition to the unceasing love, there is another sign that the soul lives in my will, and my will reigns in her. And this is the immutability, never moving from good to evil. This is only of God. A firm and constant character, not changing action easily, with a patience that only a God can have. The constancy of always repeating an act without ever tiring, never feeling any bother or unwillingness. This is only of God. Now, one who lives in our fiat feels its immutability and feels invested with such firmness that she would never change her action, not for heaven and earth. She would rather die than stop doing and redoing what she does. More so, since whatever is done with a firm heart, without ever changing, has had its origin in God. Therefore, she feels God within her act. And as she repeats the act, she feels God Himself flowing within her action and animating it. How can she ever stop repeating what she has started together with our Supreme Being? She would have to go out of our will to change action. Our will is unchanging whenever it operates, and so does it render whoever lives in it. Oh, how quickly it shows when one does not live in it. Today she wants to do something, tomorrow something else. One time she likes to make a sacrifice, another time she shuns it. She can't be trusted, always like a reed that bends at the blowing of the winds of her passions. The mutability of the human will is such that it reaches the point of rendering the creature the taunt of herself, and perhaps even of the very demons. This is why I call the creature to live in our will, so that she may be sustained and strengthened by it, and so give honor to our creative work. In fact, only man is valuable, while all our other works never change. The heavens are always fixed, nor do they tire of remaining stretched out. The sun always runs its course, nor does it ever change its action of giving its light for the good of all the earth. The air is always in act of letting itself be breathed. All things remain just as they were created by us, and they keep doing the same action. Only man, by not wanting to live in our divine will, descends from the manners of his creator and is incapable of bringing his works to completion. Therefore, he can't love them or appreciate them, nor can he receive the merit of his works.